This is Fresh Air. Judging from studio logs of early Rolling Stones recording sessions, Brian Jones was one of the most versatile members of the band. He played lead, rhythm, and slide guitar, harmonica, organ, marimbas, sitar, dulcimer, recorder, bell, saxophone, harpsichord, and mellotron, which was a keyboard that simulated strings. He also saw the band as his star vehicle. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward says, although accounts of Jones being victimized by Jagger have probably been exaggerated, Jones was swimming with sharks and got bit.
Last fall, when I was in England, I made a pleasant drive through the Cotswolds country to Cheltenham, a small, fairly well-to-do city a half hour northeast of Oxford. There's not much to see there, but it had a sentimental attraction for me. Cheltenham, after all, is where the story of Brian Jones began and ended. Brian was born on February 28, 1942, to parents who both played music, and in his mother's case, taught it. Before he was 10, Brian was playing the piano well, and he was also getting good on the clarinet. At the age of 13, he discovered Charlie Parker and switched to alto sax, and by the time he was 15, he was playing in a local trad jazz band and getting paid for it, although he loathed the music the band played. One day, he found he was working at a job he hated, playing music he hated, and he'd gotten his 15-year-old girlfriend pregnant. So he took off with his saxophone and a new guitar to Sweden. He returned a few months later with a new passion, blues, which stuck with him for the rest of his life. Since he'd always been capable of learning instruments almost immediately, Brian had mastered basic guitar stuff very quickly. And then, inspired by a rare Elmore James record he'd picked up, he went on to learn slide guitar. Harmonica was essential for a blues man, so he picked that up, too. And when Alexis Corner and Blues Incorporated, the pioneering British blues band, played a gig in Cheltenham in the spring of 1960, Brian was seriously infatuated. A couple of weeks later, he showed up at Corner's apartment and announced that he wanted to join the band. Corner's wife, Bobby, let him sleep on the kitchen floor, and in a matter of a few rehearsals, Brian Jones became a member of Blues Incorporated. He was the band's youngest member. Even the young drummer, Charlie Watts, was a year older than he was. Well, there was a younger guy who'd come up and sing a song or two on occasion, Michael Jagger. And when Jagger met Keith Richards and Alexis Corner urged them to put a band together, they took Brian and Charlie from Blues Incorporated, which was a wise move. They were experienced and could play whatever was needed.
Everything was wrong since me and my baby parted. All day long I'm walking because I couldn't get my car started. Later from a job and I can't afford to check it. I wish somebody come along and run into it and wreck it. Come on, since me and my baby parted. Come on, I can't get started. Come on, I can't afford to check it. I wish somebody come along and run into it and wreck it. Everything.
On the Rolling Stones' first single, Come On, we can hear the band Brian thought he was in. One that had him soloing on harmonica, singing harmony, and being an equal member. He wasn't. Even though he sang backup on lots of the Stones' hits, Time Is On My Side, Heart of Stone, The Last Time, he was treated as a hired hand. If he had any songwriting ideas, they weren't welcomed, although his ear for exotic instruments lifted the Stones' sound out of the ordinary. Brian learned the sitar just for Paint It Black because he was intrigued with the texture. Sometimes he'd play an instrument, like the dulcimer here, in a way it wasn't supposed to be played, for effect.
My sweet Lady Jane, when I see you again.
The downside was that between Brian's paranoia, which had been a part of his personality from early adolescence, and his increasing drug intake, which was beginning to make him pass out in the studio, it looked like the band had to choose between his creativity and their future. In June 1969, Brian announced that he was leaving the band. A month later, he drowned in his swimming pool, and he was buried in Cheltenham, where I visited his grave almost 20 years later. And although Jagger and Richards have never seemed to miss him, I've always thought the Rolling Stones have never been the same since.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.